Hello, everyone. Welcome to Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name's Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today is one of hip-hop's most incredible success stories. A few years ago, he quit his job at Red Lobster to chase his dreams in L.A. For a while, he slept on a friend's couch. Within a year, he was on the mic with Kanye West, recording the track All Mine for the rap legend's 2018 album, Ye. He immortalized the moment in his song June 1st, which commemorates the date that his breakthrough track was released, and his whole life changed. Since then, his career skyrocketed. He's worked with Ty Dolla $ign, Timbaland, and Pharrell Williams, and written hits for Camila Cabello and Teyana Taylor. His first solo EP is called Happy to Be Here, which gives some indication for the gratitude he exudes for all of his hard-won success. In December, he released a collaboration with Justin Timberlake called Better Days. It's an uplifting anthem that they performed at President Biden's virtual inauguration bash. On his latest song, Story of My Life, he tells his own epic tale. It's a song that definitely needs a big screen adaptation ASAP. I'm so happy to welcome Ant Clemons.
How's it going, Jordan? It's a pleasure to be here. I hate to be so cliche, but I really am happy to be here for a bit.
Oh, yeah, believe me, I know. That is a theme with you. I mean, you've had just such an incredible year, and this is just the beginning of it, and you have just the most epic backstory, and you lay it all out in your new song, Story of My Life. It's such a personal song. Can you tell me how that track came together?
Oh, it actually came together from a challenge from one of my friends and just people I care about their musical opinion. Justice from LVRN. I was having a conversation with him and he said, yo, bro, we love you. And anytime anybody says they love you, here comes the hate.
Uh-oh, bring it on.
Right, I'm like, tell me. He's like, bro, we love you. We just don't know who you are. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, Happy to Be Here was cool. I loved all those songs, but I don't feel like I learned who Ant Clemons was. And I feel like if I didn't know you, like just being a fan of you out of nowhere and was like, hey, who is this guy? I don't think there was any song on that project that properly described you the same way that I know you to be. I was like, okay. And I literally was on my way to a session with my brother Blake and Nick Mirror from Internet Money. Amazing session. We were just chilling and I was telling him, I was actually heated. I was like, Justice just said, he don't know who I am.
I don't blame you. I don't know. I disagree with that too, by the way. But I feel
like, I'm a son, I'm a king, and I'm a best friend. And literally it started like from a place of just, in my head, a fake competition, but it turned into the thing that I kind of wish every artist had. What's your calling card song? What if no one knew who you were, what's the record that describes you that you feel like, oh yeah, this is me, and this will be the thing that will introduce you to my world that I want to draw you into? And I was just super excited to tell my story, just from where I was at to where I was at presently, like in the third verse where I'm talking about working with Kanye and doing the song with Pharrell on the last project and like talking about the app based off the song Pharrell. It was so cool to really snapshot in real time, like where my life was. And the next day I played it for Justice, like, this is me.
What'd he say?
Oh man, he was like, you listen. Like, man, you listen on it. But he's like, man, I really love this song. And I appreciate you being open to the perspective that I had. Like, oh, yeah, you wouldn't be a person I care about. I didn't do that, you know.
I mean, I love the video for the song because it's something that I feel like must go down a lot in real life. I mean, people struggling, your character struggles to balance his relationship with dreams of making it in music. How much of that was autobiographical for you?
It was all autobiographical. It was, yeah. It was so weird that it was... And the timing of it was odd because it was like I was going through what I was acting in the video in real life. It was such a difficult process because I had the amazing Tenerio, who was a phenomenal singer, and just Miss December Less, Playboy. Like, she's the shit. And she was like so beautiful. And I'm like, I gotta be mad at you. I can't do this. Like,
stretching your acting ability a little bit.
I'm gonna try to imagine I'm upset with you. But it was so cool. She had me feeling super comfortable, super professional. And it was the coolest experience ever. And like City James and Darren, like the producers and the directors of the video, like just their willingness to be open to transfer what the song was to them and their interpretation of the song to film. I love their interpretation of the record. Like when we got the treatment back, it was eerie because I was going through a relationship situation in real time. So I was like, get out of my life.
It's your biopic up there.
Yeah, it's that's a part of my biopic. I talk about that a lot. Like, I can't wait to actually have like a biopic later in life. And this is like kind of me acting in my biopic. It was fun. It was really fun. I love the whole experience.
I mean, speaking of autobiographical, there's a new song on the 1 year anniversary edition of your first EP, Happy to Be Here, called June 1st. Very big day for you. Tell me about the significance about that date.
It was the culmination of hard work and perseverance. Like, June 1st was the day that God said, you know, it's your time. Like, for me, it was, I was in a bad deal and I had got released from that deal on May 31st and found out that I was a part of Kanye West's All Mine song, like that my vocals were still on the record on June 1st at 12 o'clock. And my life was changed forever. And I'm eternally grateful, one, to God for allowing this to ever happen, but just that Kanye West is the person that changed my life. Like, I've been a Kanye fan my entire life. And to think that, one, he knows who I am, and we have a song together with Ty Dolla $ign out, like, it was like, oh, wow, dreams do come true. So that's kind of what the significance of June 1st was for me. It was my reminder of, yeah, all those nights we slept on the floor, all the no's that I got, I finally got to my yes. Like, I tell everybody, look for the no's. Like, go searching for no's, because like the closer you get to your no's, the closer you'll get to your yes. That's for you.
Sounds almost like a second birthday in a way.
Yeah, it's the best.
What was life like on June 2nd? How did that experience just completely, like, when that song hit with Kanye, how did that change your life?
So on June 2nd, I was scheduled to go home because I just needed a break from LA. So before the song ever came out, I had no clue that it was coming out. I had just planned on going back to Jersey. So I flew home on June 2nd. And I always tell my friends, I feel like I never went home, because on June 1st, Aunt Clemens came home. And it was like, oh, wow, people perceived me as like the guy with the song with Kanye, as opposed to Anthony Clemens Jr. that you've known your whole life. It has been an interesting space, but it's so cool. It's been such a cool journey so far.
One of my favorite tracks on Happy to Be Here, I think it's the opening track, Mama, I Made It. Total tearjerker for me. Tell me about that. Piggybacking off of June 1st, what does that song mean to you?
In a perfect world, and I'm happy that we was able to put June 1st like at the beginning of the project, those would be the same song in my perfect world, because Mama, I Made It was continuation of the blessing that God gave me on June 1st. And that was me calling my mom and just saying, hey, like, all those nights I was on the floor paid off. Like, all those things that you prayed for is happening right now. So Mama, I Made It is one of my favorite songs. And I felt crazy selfish dropping it on Mother's Day.
Why? It's sweet. It's a gift to her.
It's to her, but it's about me. It's like really narcissistic. I'm like, I'm telling my story, but I'm telling her that it's cool. But it's also like, because I'm cool. Like, oh, it's such a cool way to look at life.
Tell me, how did this journey begin for you? I mean, it sounds like music was always a part of your life. I mean, back to your household growing up with your parents. Tell me a little bit. It sounds like you were basically a young Jackson 5 in your household.
We aspired to be like the Jacksons. I just literally was heartbroken every time I think about the Jackson story, because Michael was number 5. And if we base it off of the Jacksons, I would be the Jackie. Like, I'm the oldest. And I'm like, I don't want to be Jackie. I want to be Michael. Like, I want to be the little one. But I'm just the oldest of two little sisters. Music was always in our house. My dad was always singing and my mom was trying to sing, but she wasn't like the best, but we loved her because she's my mom. So we were always singing in the house, dancing. My mom could dance though. So my dad not being able to dance made it up for my mom being like the dancer, and we all got the best of both worlds. Like, I'm able to dance and sing. Amber was like the dancer and Ashley was the little singer. Then it switched. But it was a Cosby Show-like environment. It was literally, we dressed up the same when we went out. We were that family that my parents strived for us to get compliments when we were out at restaurants for being well-behaved. Like, that was the thing. You know, you can get ice cream if somebody comes up to us and says, y'all so well-behaved.
That's a powerful motivator. Ice cream, yeah.
You're just smiling at everybody. Please tell us.
I mean, you were also doing, like, I know as a kid, you were like basically a Michael Jackson impersonator. Did you do talent shows and stuff?
I did talent shows and I would do birthday parties. Anybody that needed like a Michael Jackson impersonator, I would show up. And I actually remember vividly dancing in second grade. My teacher set it up to the kids, acting like Michael was in the school, and they cut the lights down. And I was in second grade. They moved all the tables into like a circle, and they played Billie Jean, and I danced Billie Jean in the middle of the classroom. I remember being a little scared, but I never really get afraid when I'm dancing or thinking about Michael Jackson songs. And it's been like that since I was a kid.
Oh, man, did you do like Motown era stuff?
So I did Motown era stuff, but it was really like Motown 25, like the moonwalk, the Billie Jean. Like that was my favorite era of Mike, especially growing up.
That is so cool. But who else were your musical influences growing up?
They were different. It's very. So it's some days it was Stevie Wonder. Some days it was Al Green from the Red Hat. It was obviously Marvin Gaye, Kanye West, Jay-Z, Biggie Smalls, 50 Cent and G-Unit. It's very super diverse. We grew up listening to Radio Disney and Power 99 FM. So I would get the full spectrum of every Disney movie, every Disney song growing up. I love musicals. But then I'd also give you every rap record that was going on and every R&B song that was on the radio. I grew up in a really hip hop culture household. That was cool. It wasn't a whole bunch of cussing in the hip hop we were listening to until we got a little older. But definitely a hip hop culture. My parents were like the fun parents.
When did you go from being a fan of music to making it yourself? When did you start? Did you learn that you could write it?
I'm trying to remember. Because realistically, I probably have always been making music. We were always singing and making up songs as kids. I can remember like one of my first songs when I was like the third grade. But I can't remember taking it seriously in high school when my parents were going through a divorce. It was just an outlet I could use to, you know, tell my story and talk about what was going on, as opposed to like just holding it in or crying. And once I kind of got through that, it was like, oh, I like writing songs because I'm able to tell stories and put myself in the shoes of others.
There's a really cool quote you gave recently where you said songwriting is literally looking in the mirror every day. And I wanted to ask you more about that. As somebody who can't write songs, I that was really intriguing to me. I wanted to ask you more about that.
Yes. So I believe that you're looking in the mirror every day, like when you're songwriting, honestly, because you're kind of just looking at the things that that make you and trying to identify them with what people go through every single day. Like songwriting, I feel like it's selfless, but it's super selfish the way you have to go internally to pull what someone else needs to get through what they're going through in that period of time. Sometimes songs are escapes. Sometimes songs are guides to get you from one place to the next. And with looking in the mirror at yourself and having that level of vulnerability, you're able to have a perspective of open-heartedness. You're able to look at the world and not really see the world as people taking, but you know what you can contribute and what you can give too. I like to think about it that way.
Hey, there's sort of a famous part of your backstory of how when you moved to LA, you stayed with friends rent free in exchange for writing a song every day. And that just, as somebody who can't write music, that just seems like absolute craziness to me, writing a song every day. What is your process like for that when you just sit down and write a song?
So it evolved. So I started writing, I think my first few songs, I would write them down in a notepad. And then I grew up looking at Lil Wayne and Jay-Z not writing anything down. I wanted to be cool too. So I would try to go in the studio and memorize my bars and my raps before I'd spit them, practice freestyling just so that I could do it. I wasn't really good at it when I first started, but you know, with practice, everything kind of evolves. Yeah. And honestly, I'm cracking up as I'm thinking about it. Cause it's like my process now is very much just freestyle. The thing I had, like a really, really hard time with before, I kind of have an idea of a concept or I try to get the concept before I go into the booth. But a lot of it is just removing myself and allowing just what the song is to be the song. So not allowing my ego to prevent me from getting that message that someone actually needs across. So the process is kind of just freestyling until I get the thing that I like and piecing it together. Over time, it's sped up, so my process is a lot faster than it's been in the past. But you know, you do anything every day, it gets a lot better. First few songs every single day, at that point in my career, I had already been doing about 5 or 6 songs a day anyway. So someone telling me all you need is one song a day, I'm like, I have a million one songs a day. I'm so ready for this. And I can't do anything but thank Ali, Scott, and Dre for opening their house to me because they never had to do that. And I can't imagine where I would be without that one blessing, that one door open. And they allowed me to open up doors for them and for others. And I'm just super appreciative.
Your hustle is unparalleled. I mean, you were working at Red Lobster, flying back and forth from New Jersey to LA for a while. Do you have any advice for people who are struggling to balance the day job with making their dreams happen?
My advice would be to keep going. And I hate how cliche that sounds. I've been given the same advice. I really hate how cliche that sounds. The hardest thing is to start something and stop something. So for me, with persistence, you'll get exactly where you want to get to. So just keep going. You're not where you want to be, but you're exactly where God has you for a reason.
Great advice. It's cliche for a reason. I mean, it's true. It's truth. I love your optimism. I mean, just talking to you now, and it comes through in so much of your music. And I loved your track with Justin Timberlake, Better Days. How did that one come about? How did you two link up?
That was a page out of my wildest dreams. That's how it happened. It was just like, you know what? I wrote down in my wildest dreams book a song with Justin Timberlake. That's actually been on my vision board every year since about 2009. I wanted a song with Justin Timberlake. And I told my team, I was like, hey, I want to work with Justin. And during quarantine, he was just open to songwriters. And I'm pretty sure it was Jody from UNPG. And I love her to death. She put the word in and told Justin, you know, hey, you know, you should work with Aunt Clemens. And we got connected via Zoom. And our very first conversation, it was during the shift in the world where it was just the George Floyd incident had just happened. So although I was excited to meet Justin, it was a weird time in the world. So our conversation was, what can we do to bring our talents together to be a part of the change that we want to be a part of, that we want to see? And from the first conversation, I went and called my brother Bongo and was like, yo, I just got on the phone with Justin Timberlake. And he was like, ah! And I was like, ah! And I'm like, he's from Memphis. You know, he loves Sam Cooke. Let's do our best to give him something that feels like where he's from, but can speak to today.
Got that change is going to come vibe. Yeah.
We tapped into the change is going to come and like what's going on Marvin Gaye. It was like we were trying to get the essence of what made those songs powerful is that they weren't afraid to speak about the time. They were actively pursuing and speaking to the life that they wanted to live as opposed to the oppression and what was going on around them that was keeping them low. So I sent the first little idea, probably a chorus idea to Justin, like the first verse to the chorus, and he lost his mind. And from then, every time we communicated, like when the world started opening up a little bit, we started getting physical sessions. We'd do one song, two songs, and then turn around and say, you know, we got to finish Better Days. And as the election started coming up and this how insane everything was in the world, it just showed us every day how important it was that we had to, you know, stop what we were doing to finish this thing for the world, as opposed to, like, you know, just staying in this place of entertainment. We can get right back to that, but like, let's just address what's happening and be the change that somebody might need right now. So Justin tells me, he's like, hey man, what if we did Better Days for your project? And I said, what? Just simply. And one thing leads to the next, and I'm in a room looking at Justin Timberlake record his verse to Better Days, and I'm losing my mind. And one day we're adding beatboxes, and then he's adding shakers, and I literally watched the song grow and evolve over time. Man, I feel like I'm still dreaming as I'm talking to you right now that this is actually a reality, that I have a song with Justin Timberlake. Like, I grew up a huge NSYNC fan, and if I was home right now, I would be showing you my NSYNC dolls that I have in my house.
Yes! What is he like in the studio? I mean, it's just the creativity coming off him must be just off the charts.
He's one of the coolest people I've ever worked with. It's really kind of scary because it's like an older version of myself when it comes to the energy. Like, he's so open to anything, but this is me. This isn't me, but let's still go. Let's still try and try to figure it out. We push each other, and he's phenomenal to work with. I love working with Justin in the studio.
I got to ask you about the inauguration. How was that?
A dream come true. In the middle of us recording it, I told Justin, I was like, I think we could, I feel like we're going to perform this like at the inauguration, like the first dance or something like that. I think that would be like really cool. And he tells me, you know, like from your mouth to God's ears, like I've seen you manifest a lot of things around here. So
yeah.
I'm not I'm not doubting it. And literally 2 to 3 weeks after that, I get a call from Justin. He's like, your Jedi mind level is at mastery. I said, excuse me. He's like, yeah, I just got an offer for the PR team, from the PR team telling us that they want us to perform better days for the Biden-Harris inauguration. That was already going to be historic because it's the very first time we have the first female black female president, vice president. And she's getting inaugurated, and I'm a part of this level of history. It's virtual, so that's the first ever virtual inauguration. This is going to be in history forever, and I'll be there performing with one of the people that is the reason that I'm making music. Yeah, I think I can be free for that. I think I'm available.
Pencil it in. We'll talk.
I'll pencil it in, Justin. Yeah. And, man, I just remember going out to Memphis. It was my first time. I was able to bring my mom. It was beautiful. And we went to the Sax Academy, and it was really cold, but it was such an honor to be there. And being from Willingboro, New Jersey, Adam Blackstone is like a hometown hero. So to have Adam do a version of the song that felt like Willingboro, it felt like church, it felt like Sharon Baptist, like where I grew up, and it felt Memphis. It's so surreal how music can kind of transcend places. So it connected with Justin, it connected with me, and by the grace of God, we were able to get Kirk Franklin on a version that was the audio version of the song. So this whole thing was just amazing, to say the least.
You've had so many dreams come true, and I can't think of a nicer guy for it to happen to. What is next? What's the dream that you have right now that you're working towards?
I'm trying to work with Drake. I would love to work with Drake.
Yeah?
I would love to work with Kendrick, and I would love to be in the studio with Jason. Those are some of the things that I'm striving towards. But I feel like when they happen, they'll happen like when God says it's time. And I'm not trying to rush it until then. But I'm definitely excited and looking forward to working with those guys.
Get that Jedi mind mastery going. You got this.
Yes.
You're already off to just such a huge start in 2021. What do you have planned for the rest of the year?
We are going to be dropping a whole bunch of more music. I'm very excited. I'm just grateful from the inauguration to winning my first Grammy with Jesus King and even being Grammy nominated and for happy to be here. My first project is I'm constantly reminded that of how real God is and just how great he is. So God willing, I'm going to be dropping a whole bunch of more music and videos and just a lot of cool content for the fans. I'm very excited.
Oh, man, Ant, we can't wait. Thank you so much for taking the time today. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Jordan, for real. I really appreciate you. Y'all have a blessed one.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.